Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Black Shirt Breakdown. My name is Steve Marek. I'm a staff writer at Inside Nebraska, part of the Rivals.com network. And that man over there, that is Jay Foreman, our NFL veteran and former Nebraska Black Shirt. Jay, got another recruit to break down here for the Huskers in their 2024 class. And he comes on the defensive side of the ball, and he comes from Miami, Florida. So he is Vincent Shavers, who we will be breaking down. Vincent Shavers is a 6'1", 205-pound linebacker. He played his senior season over at Central High School in Miami. Before that, he was at Pace High School around Miami. Jay, when you first kind of saw everything with Vincent Shavers transpire, he was a longtime Miami Hurricanes commit, didn't work out in the end. So he was Nebraska was lucky enough to get a official visit out of Vincent pretty late in the process, and they end up getting his signature on the early during the early signing period. But Jay, first thoughts on Vincent Shavers from Miami?
Well, I like his build, and I like the way he plays. He plays. I think with some guys, you could tell they're competitive, you know, through their tape, and they like to play, and they like to play hard nosed football. Mm-hmm. And that's him. He comes from a very good high school program, and then also the league that he played in is highly competitive as well. And so you know that he's game ready or able to put himself in a position to transition pretty quick to Nebraska. But I think he also gives you some position flexibility. I think he can, mm-hmm. Just if he stays right where he's at, gets a little bit bigger, he could probably play the weak side, or he could eventually, obviously train himself into being a true middle linebacker. But the one thing that I think that will help him is even when he gets bigger, faster, and stronger, he won't lose his speed and quickness. So, and then he can really cover some ground. You'll see it here. And when he arrives, he arrives to let everybody know that he's coming to the party.
6'1", 205 pounds. Rivals has him as a 4-star linebacker. He played a lot on the line of scrimmage as kind of like a stand-up edge. We'll see where he ultimately ends up at Nebraska, because he's got potential to play inside at linebacker too. And right now that's kind of a position of need in the program. But just a little bit of background on Vincent before we get into his highlights here. He played 8 games as a senior at Central. He recorded 46 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, 7 sacks, and of course the forced fumbles. He had 2 of those, so that's always good. Right. He was also kind of caught some eyeballs at the recent Dade County versus Broward County All-Star game recently. He was the defensive MVP of that game, which was full of talent, obviously, from Florida. Right. So very cool. Impressive closeout speed. Like I said, he was a longtime Miami Hurricane commitment. Didn't work out there. But you got to give credit to, I think, Phil Simpson. He's one of the Miami guys on staff who played for Rule. He's kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. But he was doing an excellent job, I think, of continuing to recruit guys in that area. And when Vincent Shavers came up, he had that relationship there because Phil Simpson was a longtime high school coach after his playing days were over in Florida. Yeah. So that helps out. Obviously, Evan Cooper has a big presence down there. He's from the Miami area. So a lot of good stuff right there. I think this is a really good pickup. But Jay, let's get into these highlights right now so you can teach these Husker fans listening right now about this kid and what he could potentially do at Nebraska. Right now I like what he brings, just because he's from Miami, he's got speed, all those guys do. Couple that with the size, 205 pounds right now, just kind of like a big ball of clay that you can mold him into just a really good football player.
Well, just right away, Steve, you see him lined up here on the edge in kind of an outside linebacker position. Look at the length of his arms, right? Look at the length right there. That's what you want, right? And that's how you're able to alleviate any, girth problems when you're going against bigger guys, right? And I'm talking about projecting him to maybe even outside linebacker or a jack position, inside linebacker. Look at all those long arms. Look at the play diagnose here, right here. Kind of reads it. Obviously, the mesh is going to be probably a little bit harder to read at the Big Ten level. Mm-hmm. But then you like the closing speed for him to make some plays. And so the biggest thing out of his stat line is the 14 tackle for loss. And sometimes that you put your best player on the line of scrimmage, and you see the helmet right there, right? So you let you know that when he's coming for real. You put him on the line of scrimmage because you have other good players that can play inside linebacker, but then also you have somebody that's good enough to, play on the line of scrimmage and be effective even at 205 pounds in a very highly competitive Miami high school league.
Yeah, the tackles for loss thing was a good point, Jay, because it's just like getting in the backfield and causing havoc. However you do it, that's exactly what Tony White wants to do with his 3-3-5 system that he has here. And you know, I think there's going to be opportunity to play right away for Vincent Shavers. Obviously, he's going to be an early enrollee. He'll arrive right. January 14th or 13th, I believe, and he'll be here for a winter conditioning. So that the staff has to love that he gets a start right away. But Jay, what about here?
Right here, you see him right again, right there. The length that I talked about. Look at the heavy hands, mm-hmm. strength to shed. I like it right there. Where look, he's setting the edge right there. Watch this right here. Set it. Look at the shock. Right. Look at the throw right here. That violence, and so that he's able to separate his hands from his eyes. And mm-hmm. here's what I like even better. Right. He's not overrunning the plate, which we've seen hurt Nebraska defenders at times this year. Look at his ability to break down. I call it kill grass. Right. Keep his leverage again. Then make the play. And then when he just doesn't, he's trying to take you down. I like it that he said, you know what? I get you to the sideline. I'm not just going to massage you out of the sideline. I'm going to get an extra kind of hit on you. But that's a phenomenal play. It starts off right here. Boom, right here. Knock him down. Then he does a good job right here, about the 50, breakdown. And see, I like that right there. That lets me know he can tackle in space. Number one, he can take on a tight end or a fullback or an H-back or whatever. Good hand, shock and release. You can even project him to be a displaced linebacker against a, you know, slot receiver, H-back, kind of a matchup problem. So this is where I like in space. Watch this right here. That's the most impressive thing, making the tackle and all that stuff. That's what you expect. He's not going to put anything out there on tape that he's not making tackles. But what he did right here and the violence that he was able to throw him off, right, that's something that you – don't normally see from guys at the high school level because they're so used to using their speed and their size to get to make the plays. He's not only – he's violent with those hands. I like it, and I like the shock and release right here. Punch and pull, that's an old school technique. I'm sure they have some fancy name for it, but it's right here. It's the punch, pull, throw. That is what stood the test of time, almost like the offensive move, which I call the dead leg. It will never go away, and it'll always be effective. Getting off blocks and then making the play. That's an awesome play by that young man right here.
I love this play because of the burst, the speed. I mean, you see it. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the running back right now, I don't know who it is, but I'm guessing that guy can move too. Vincent Shavers did not give up any ground, and just right down the line is really super impressive. And it's that speed, that burst, that get off that is going to hopefully, you know, provide him with some ability to get in the offensive backfield in Big Ten football games. And I think, you know, his pass rushing skills, I think it are going to continue to be developed, but he's starting off with some really good tools, his movement skills, his get off. And we're going to see it right now, him pressuring the quarterback, just good stuff all around. It's going to be really interesting to see what Rob Dvoracek can do with this kid.
Right. It's also really good to be here on the end of the line of scrimmage, and he's able to get in the backfield through the mesh. And what the mesh means, I call, is like when it's a tight formation, right? Sometimes you can get confused by where to line up, where to go. He knew exactly what he was doing and ran through number 81. And then he had good closing speed to a pretty athletic quarterback right here. So that's why I look at the get off, right? Mm-hmm. And the ability to bend. And then obviously you want guys that can finish. And the good thing about him, even with the play before, Steve, you're seeing the burst right out of there, right? We saw the strength. We saw the closing speed. We saw that now we're seeing the burst, but also in the play before, the ability to stop and start quickly and then not really lose speed. And that's how you are. That's how you have the tools to become a good pass rusher. So Terrence Knighton, Rob Dvoracek, they're probably going to be fighting over who gets this guy first, right? Because he has a ton of flexibility. He can play on the line of scrimmage if you have a different type of lineup that you want, you know, especially on third downs. You might put in all linebackers and one defensive lineman and try to confuse the offensive line. He has the athletic ability and the speed, awareness, and quickness to cover in space. And so that's where Rob Dvoracek, and then obviously you got Tony White, is thinking like, okay, I can put him even maybe as a slot, you know, covering a slot. He can cover in zone. He can be a blitzer from the second level. And also he could be a spy. And that's where if you get a running quarterback, he will be one of your most effective players. And I like this right here, blitzing off the end.
Exactly.
Look at the upfield shoulders where the target is, right? Watch this. And then guess what happens when the guy steps up? He knows to cut his angle off. I always teach guys to go to the 90 degrees once he steps up, right? So watch this. You're coming at a 45, to the outfield, which is the quarterback's right shoulder here. That's where your aim point is, so he can't escape out to the right. Mm-hmm. But look what he does, able to put his foot in the ground, right, and read. He's reading this on the run and pick up that sack right there. That's a great – it's the athletic ability and the football awareness that he has right here that are natural skills right here that you can't teach. And you have the length at 6'1", 205, and he can play on the line because he's extremely violent and he's explosive out of his stance.
Just loves – I love how he just runs through 54's block attempt here. Really good. And, you know, one thing about him I also noticed is the motor. I mean, he just keeps coming. I think this example here shows exactly what he could do. If he doesn't get there right away, he's not going to stop. And, you know, depending on what his teammates do elsewhere around the pocket, he's able to track down quarterbacks.
Well, some of the biggest plays come from second and third effort, right? Yep. You see right here, he's blocked, right? What does he do? Retrace his steps, right? Not only do you get right down the line of scrimmage, you go downhill. You know, when you talk, it's a basketball term. Once you kind of get too high, right? But you get caught up in the washer, gets a big mammoth tackle right here. Watch what he does right here. He comes off and he kind of gets engulfed or engaged, try to give him a move right here. Then he gets a little bit too deep, right? And what did we say the play before? Upfield shoulder, the quarterback steps up. So what do? Plant your foot, which I've seen, you know, Terrence Knighton work on, and then you get directly downhill. And then that's how caused fumbles happen. That's how tackle for loss happens. But then that's how you are a, obviously, four-star recruit, power five player like he is, and gives you a tremendous amount of position flexibility because he also has the ability to bend. What you see right here is he's able to get lower, and that's why he's able to get downhill to get that last sack. So the ability to drop your pads, right, and there's a, you know, the old pass rushing, you know, thing where you're almost like a speed skater. You're going in and out of the cones, and you got to be able to drop your hips and bend. Mm-hmm. That allowed him to get right downhill and get back in on that sack right there. And also what you see numerous amount of times, you know, not only on this highlight tape, which is 4, 5, 6 plays, but if you go out back and watch his full games and his huddle tapes, you see the closing speed, right? When he sees it, he goes and gets it. That's how you have 14 tackles for loss in that type of league. That's how you continuously attack the quarterback. That's how you continuously, you know, not only that's not even a stat where you're making, you know, I call them winning running plays when you're making the tackle within, was it 2.5 yards of the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. That's a guy that's always around the ball. He's always effective. And then also the thing that's obviously something that isn't a guarantee anymore, but he has it, is a motor that doesn't stop. So he's always going to make plays. So he's quite frankly a player that will strive, you know, everything being equal in Tony White's system, regardless, it doesn't matter where he plays, because he has what Tony White said. I just always keep going back to this quote, where they all know how to start out with A. Sometimes they don't go to B, but they end up at C right on time. And that's what you want. Guys that know how to find the ball, get the ball, and then when they get there, they arrive with bad intentions.
The inside linebacker room at Nebraska, give me your thoughts on it right now. John Bullock, Javon Wright, Mekhi Bayer. I know he played some Jack, but he has some experience out on the inside. Dylan Rogers, a true freshman last year, redshirted. You know, give me your thoughts on inside linebacker right now. It seems to me, at least, that it's kind of a position of need. Like, you know, another guy, especially one with experience, maybe through the transfer portal, would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, just it looks totally different because you had stalwarts that have been there for 2, 3, and sometimes 4 years in Luke Reimer and Nick Heinrich. So, so you know, you lose a lot of reps, you lose a lot of leadership, you lose a lot of toughness, and you just lose a lot of continuity just because they played in the Big Ten, it seemed like, for almost a half a decade. And so, of course, it's going to look a little different, right? Mm-hmm. But what came out of last year or in the first year of Tony White's system was emergence of Bullock, right? And then where you seen him, he had a black shirt. He made some big plays at times, and he never played
guy.
Single-digit guy, and he's a guy that can, you know, is accountable, that can lead. But here's what the thing is. He never played linebacker before, so you just assume he's going to be that much better, right? And then you have Javon Wright, who was a jack-of-all-trades, kind of like Shavers here, but obviously Javon Wright is just, you know, 3 or 4 inches taller. Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, he went and played inside linebacker at times. He plays a little bit on the outside as far as on third down and nickel. he has a ton of potential because he's never played before. So the upside is really, really good. And then you have Dylan Rogers, who I think can be a plugger in the middle. Mm-hmm. Stayed healthy, I think, through his freshman year, learned a lot, competed. So you got him. Then you got Mekhi Gabert that just came out of nowhere. But the thing about him is kind of like Shavers again, right? What you're seeing is like Tony White, in Nebraska in general, whether it's Simpson, Dvorak, you know, Evan Cooper, whoever's recruiting all these guys, and it's all of them, mm-hmm. is they're getting guys that can do more than one thing. So if somebody goes down, you have a guy that can go in and learn it. And so I think Nebraska's in a decent, you know, position, right? A little thin, right? I mean, it's the way it is. You can't always have four-year starters year after year because only two guys can start. So there's a lot of potential there. But I also think that if you went and added a guy that could fit in, provide some veteran leadership from a playing standpoint, right, that knows how to arrive at a game, prepare for a game, bring some knowledge from outside, maybe the Big Ten, you know, or you know, whatever it is, that would be, you know, an asset as well. But I think also it's not as imperative to do so because I think I can't speak for Coach Rule, but I think what the read I get is if they find somebody they really like and they really want to come here, it's great. It doesn't become imperative until they get through spring ball. He's going to let these guys try to compete. I think he's going to let these guys, you know, prove themselves and establish themselves. And if that does, even if it does happen, you're going to welcome more competition. And because that's building depth in the team. And if you haven't seen, you know, over the past few years, Nebraska is going to need more than the starters at linebacker or at any position. So I think any addition is welcome.
Absolutely. Good stuff as always, Jay. So that was Vincent Shavers, really talented four-star linebacker out of Miami. Nebraska did a great job to keep continuing to recruit him, get him on official visit, and then they got his signature during the early signing period. So for Jay Foreman, my name is Steve Mark, and that was Blackshirt Breakdown, Vincent Shavers style. Catch y'all later.